the Milky Way. A large, expansive spiral galaxy, roughly 75,000 light years from side to side. Home to the human race and many alien species, it swarms with activity. Every day, billions of people go to work, worship their deities, and fly off into the void. These are the daily doings of the known galaxy. This is Beyond Dockers. Episode 3. In the void of space, even smugglers yearn for romance. Roger Fourboys, a disgraced former priest, yearns to have his void filled, sometimes with opals, on a long string. And he has recruited the help of a young apprentice, Sebastian Fitzroger. I remember when I was a young apprentice. One had to bend over backwards to satisfy my master, but that's what you get for having thick thighs. Sebastian has been persistent with Roger, who, after a long time, has finally granted him the job of apprentice.
Yeah, the job isn't really compatible with long-term relationships because I spend so much time in space. When we get a bit of downtime at station, I'll go into bars and hook up with some guys for a mad night of gay abandon. But it's not romance. What I really want is a stable relationship with someone like Captain, really. Someone mature, he has such a lovely voice and a gentle manner. But what am I thinking? He'll never think of me as anything more than crew. I try so hard to please him, but he always sounds disappointed.
Sebastian, my dear boy, please could you join me in my quarters?
Roger, I'm on my way. Oh no, those rose petals from cargo all over the floor. I better sweep them up. He likes ship to be spick and span. Oh, it looks like they go right to Roger's door. He'll be very annoyed when he sees them. Permission to enter, sir?
Oh, Sebastian, you know that you can penetrate my inner sanctum any time. There's no need to ask for permission, my dear boy.
Okay.
I'm in the bathroom, just oiling myself up. It's such a sensual feeling. My nipples are like SRV wheel nuts.
I'm sorry about mess, but don't worry, I've dealt with it.
Mess? I hope you've not been doing things by yourself again, dear boy. I told you, if you need any help shoving my budgies into holes, then I'd drop everything for you.
Oh my, that's a tiny towel. Yes, there were rose petals everywhere. I don't even know how they got on bed. But they're all cleared up now. I'll see myself out.
Oh, Sebastian.
I'm sorry, it won't happen again. You weren't kidding about wheel nuts.
Please, Sebastian, won't you stay a little while? I have some champagne and oysters. I can make a little room in my boudoir for you. Come now, relax. You look so tense. Sebastian, let me relax you.
I can't stay. I've got to make rendezvous with escort.
Oh, yes. The escort. A strapping scoundrel in dark leather, no doubt, bristling with lasers to protect our precious cargo from pirates while we are engaged in other activities.
I wasn't sure what you wanted, so I picked one out for you.
Oh, Sebastian, it is such a shame you can't stay and enjoy all the delights I have to offer you. Please hurry back. I can keep the champagne on ice.
I won't be long.
Roger's one lucky man. Changing from his sleek smoking jacket, he puts down his pipe, takes off his slippers, and he eases his bulk onto the leopard-skinned waterbed and eagerly awaits Sebastian's return, his tidy towel cast aside and his body glistening in the candlelight. That glorious rear end, pert, and with only a small touch of cellulite, and those nipples like multi-cannon rounds. Wait, is that a clinker? Oh, and his pubic hair. Oh, gods. Why'd you make me watch this increasingly terrifying horror show? Oh, thank God. Sebastian and the escort are back.
Come in. I'm ready for you.
Hello, Roger. I'd recognise that hole anywhere. Straight or special, love.
Sebastian, what is this woman doing here?
It's escort you asked me to arrange.
Look, mate, I'm on the clock, so make up your mind. I've got a list as long as the commodity market's billboard. I'm booked in for a fisting at 7 and something called a tuna melt at 8.
No, Sebastian, no! This is not what I meant at all. I wanted a fighter escort to protect us from pirates, not this... this thing.
I'm sorry. I can't do anything right.
Oh, Sebastian. You are such a delicate flower that I feel I must grow you and nurture you.
You've still got to pay me, even if I don't do any nurturing. It's 5 credits an hour. I take gal pal.
Oh, well, any port in a storm? Do you have a strap-on in that bag?
So it's the special, love. Right away.
Hands up has got a very, very important meeting today. Miss Conception is a galaxy-wide renowned author and political analyst. However, her views can be quite outspoken and controversial. Her zealous anti-imperial stance on certain subject matters and calls for military action against what she calls that vermin race of semi-human ponces has charmed Hans immensely. With Misconception arriving for a speech today, he takes it upon himself to provide the security and the charm.
Number 2. Why do you never arrive on time? And when you do turn up, I can feel my insides straining. I told you we had a very important guest to meet today. Somebody worthy of showing the best we have to offer. I hope you got my privates all clean and dressed for the occasion, like I asked.
I'm sorry, sir. I wasn't aware of any important delegation arriving today. You said just last night, take the day off and relax. I was just at McThargoid's when you called to ask, where the fuck are you? I could only get number 4883 to volunteer. He's really nice. He's just got a bit of a lisp.
That's unacceptable, number 2. We're receiving a delegate of the Duncombe Freedom Front, and we need to present our best for the occasion. Have you at least inspected my semen?
Well, if I'm honest, sir, I was struggling to make up time, and the semen got pushed out before I could make it. Anyway, if it was really that important, shouldn't you have told me...
Shut your sausage catcher, number 2. She's here.
Well then, I see we have our grand reception. Is this a greeting worthy of the representatives of the Freedom Front?
My God, number 2! Can't you see that? What a fine specimen of the glorious human race.
Well, yes, she's quite tall and blonde. The overcoat is a bit much, though. And what's that armband all about? It looks like she's got buried treasure in her biceps.
Ah, you must be Hans. Of course, such a fine specimen. Wie geht es Ihnen?
Oh, danke. I mean, Misconception. Happy to have you here at our glorious station. I've heard so much about you, but this is the first time I get to meet you in person. I'm a big fan of your latest book, Das Imperial. Perhaps we can discuss it over dinner later?
Well, I'm sure this won't end happily ever after.
Ah, Misconception, you look charming. Allow me to push your stool in.
This is a charming little place you have brought me to. You're looking smart, Hans. Steve Collar. Immaculate hair and creases you could slice a bratwurst with. You might be just what we are looking for.
Ah, well, I'm honored you would even consider a humble mensch like me. Please, I would love to know more about Das Imperium. Did you really break wind in the Emperor's face? I loved your methods. They are so unique.
Your methods are what caught our eye, Hans. We'd love you not only to join this festival. We need a teacher. A leader amongst men. Someone to stand up and deliver for the greater good. Someone to sweep the opposition aside and say no more to the imperial menace that threatens us all. You will be our Sturmbannführer.
Sturmbannführer? Me? Well, I would be honored.
We are having a gathering later at the Mug House. We would love you to say a few words.
Number two, get your sorry ass in here right now! We have a speech to write and it needs to be right. Very right. Extremely right.
Right, Michelle. What's next on my daily schedule? I'd rather shit into my own hands and insert it in my ears than have to spend another minute listening to the benefits of health and safety with the Federation Union. I'm in charge of federal fines, Michelle. Well, I'm Barnard's bollocks when I want commanders to obey health and safety. That's my paycheck right there, Michelle.
Ah, it seems there is 10 minutes written here for number two, Your Magnificence.
Oh, wonderful. I've been touching cloth for the last 5 minutes.
No, I mean the second in command of security. He's got an appointment here to see you regarding...
His hands, sir. He's not acting himself.
Well, he can fucking play Hamlet for all I care. He's not even so much as waved at me since he retired from Barnard Station.
He told me you blocked him from all transmissions and left the message, "Fine then, fuck off, see if I care, sir."
Well, in a friendly, joking way, of course. Okay, I'll see what he's up to. I'm sure there's something we can find to find him with.
The imperial domination in the state seems so assured that now not only can he call himself an imperial again, but he ruthlessly admits his ultimate national and political designs.
Michelle, what is this nonsense? He's wheeling around like a semaphore operator with a wasp in his pants. Everyone's doing it. What the hell is going on, Michelle? Michelle, that man behind me just high-fived me in the head. Mug!
I don't know your superbness. I think he is trying to rally the masses against the Imperial, your gloriousness, with some moderate success. I don't think you should be high-fiving them all through your eagerness. It seems to be annoying some of them.
Well, I was told it was rude to leave them hanging, Michelle. Rally the masses? That won't do. Michelle, we rely on the masses not being rallied at the FFS. I've long had my suspicions about Hans after that time we had to share a single passenger cabin, and he insisted on sleeping on the right.
When I finally grasp power in my hands, the destruction of the Imperial State will be my first and most important...
He's causing a scene being out there, rallying the masses and whatnot. Someone, anyone, seize Hans!
Wait!
Oh, you must be Herr Brüben. Such a fine specimen. Is that a cable knit sweater? You've got that really sexy woolly look going on. Maybe you'd like to join the very best. Call me.
Michelle! Who the fuck is this bint? No! Stop touching me, you Aryan twat!
Oh, I do love a man with authority. Your hair is so... thin. Wispy.
Oh, miss, I insist you stop immediately. His immaculateness cannot stand being touched by anyone but himself and mother.
Oh, he loves it, don't you, David? He's just not...
Mug! 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 Mother spent all last night washing my hair, Michelle. Then this stupid bint comes along and ruffles it like I'm 5 years old. Well, I'm not going through that horrific experience again, Michelle. No more tears. Biggest lie in the galaxy, even with the rubber hair ring. I'm angry now, Michelle. Get this stupid Aryan tart and take her to Detention Room Alpha. Actually, fuck that, I'll do it myself.
Ah! Was on too fell? I demand you release me at once.
Your gloriousness, the detention rooms are down the stairs.
Are you questioning my knowledge of the station layout, Michelle?
I would never conceive of such a thing, your locationalness.
Ah, see, here we go, Michelle. I told you it was upstairs. So this bint in here, Michelle.
I'm pretty sure this...
Stop lollygagging, Michelle, and shove it in. That's more like it. Right, lock the door. Oh, Well, Michelle, it looks like I owe you an apology. I forgot the station rotates. Easy mistake to make. What happened to Hans, anyway?
I said you wanted to see him, but he had to shower first. I've not seen him since. He looked very scared at the time.
The legendary Beluga Liner is the largest vessel that can't quite fit through the slot. Canon Interstellar's research and development ship, the Ivor Biggin, sits battered on the pad, steaming from patches of green corrosive slime. The repair crew, spooked by the shuddering of the hull and horrible groaning sounds coming from within, have asked for a chief baggage officer to investigate. Jack Sophelot has drawn the short straw again.
Excuse me, sir. Is this Stephen Great Master Goo your ship?
Yes, how can I help you?
Oh, God. Not you again. I hope you aren't going to try and get me to eat any more of that awful cock cheese.
Oh, no, not at all. I'm just here for repairs, and then I'll be on my way. I just need a jet wash and a small patch-up on the cargo scoop.
My friend's wife had some of your cock cheese, and now she has a nasty rash. It wouldn't be too bad. Except she's heavily addicted to the hard blue veined variety now.
Oh dear. I'm sorry to hear that. I did tell you it was experimental. So I need repairs and my fuel, my good man.
Right, let's get this over with so I can get the fuck away from you. Some of the repair crew have come to me with concerns about your ship. The shuddering and groaning noises. I've had a look at the ship's manifest. It says here that all you're carrying is the ship's pet. I'm gonna have to check if it meets Federation animal laws. I'm a little concerned about its toilet facilities, as you can see.
Oh yes, the ship's pet, Miss Tickles. She does make a bit of noise when she wants feeding. And the green stuff is all perfectly natural. In fact, she would suffer without it.
Do you really expect me to believe that all you're carrying in that massive cargo hold is the ship's pet?
Oh yes, Miss Tickles likes to have a bit of room. No space awareness, you see, so she can hit the hull from time to time. Nothing to worry about.
And what kind of pet is Miss Tickles? She sounds like an angry hippopotamus.
Tickles is a Thargoid Cyclops.
A what?
Tickles is a Thargoid Cyclops.
Oh, I can't hear you with all this noise. Well, take me to the cargo hold and I'll see for myself. Then I can take this and you can fuck off.
No, really, there's no need. I'll just make my repairs and I'll be on my way. I wouldn't want to completely mess up your nice, clean cargo area.
Oh, no. I want to see this. You're up to summit, and I'm going to find out what it is.
No, really.
I wouldn't trust you as far as I could throw an elephant by its balls on an 11G planet. Now take me to the cargo hold.
Very well, if you insist. Are you sure about this?
Quit stalling and open the door.
Oh dear, the door seems to be stuck.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Get out of the way, I'll do it. Jesus fucking Christ! How the hell did you fit a Thargoid Cyclops in here?
Get away from the door, she might suck you off.
Why didn't you say so? Bring on the Thargoid then.
Miss Tickles, put him down.
Help! It's pulling me towards its sphincter. No! Get it off me! Get it off me! My legs! My legs have gone in!
Don't worry, she's just being friendly. Miss Tickles, don't make me discipline you. Put him down.
Please, help me. It's sucking me
Igor,
all the way inside.
Could
help.
You discipline
Miss
Tickle, please?
Yes, master.
You're gonna pay for this.
Here, let me help you up.
I'm gonna get station security to slag your ship and that thing.
My dear man, that must have been a terrible ordeal for you. Here, have a sip of this brandy.
Oh, thank you. Th- Thank you. Hang on. That's not brandy. Is that X-Edit?
No, it's lovely brandy. No, don't drink any more. They say you drink to forget, but we don't want you to forget how to breathe.
Oh, what happened to me? Why am I covered in slime? That's not Finn again, is it?
You slipped on some grease and had a little fall after you inspected our cargo hold.
I did?
Yes, you did. And Miss Tickles is just a cute little putty cat and not a Thargoid Cyclops at all.
Oh, what a cute little one-eyed putty cat.
And now you need to go back and tell everyone that everything is in order and we are free to go.
That's right. Everything's in order. You're free to go.
You're also going to tell everyone that they should try my delicious cock cheese.
Don't push your fucking luck.
With repairs complete, the Panther Clipper majestically shudders out of the station into the glittering starlight. The cute little kitty stored safely in its hold for its final journey to... I seem to have lost my train of thought. What just happened? Why does this brandy taste weird? Alice? Oh, God, my head. Alice, what the hell are you wearing? Why are there chicken feathers and gizzards on the floor? Right. What's next? Ah, yes. Romance, romance, romance. It's the time of year when love is in the air. That's because most of the galaxy are perverts and like to have sex in zero-G. It's very tangy on the tongue, too. However, modern life in the 34th century still has its problems, seated in the throes of history. For example, nobody has ever figured out how to open any packages that say, "Please peel here." It is much preferred to stab it liberally with a knife until it submits in a mass of wounds, or stabs you back. May Swallow has been stabbed by more packages than Julius Caesar, but she's taken time away from her busy schedule at McThargoid's for personal reasons. We join her now as she deals with a sensitive problem.
Come on, May. It's been nearly a year now. It's time to put on your brave face and get yourself out there. You can't mope around at home, watching endless repeats of Hutton Under the Hammers. Richard isn't coming back. Well, you'd have to reconstitute him from several thousand parts, and he probably smells like bio-waste and sulphur, with more than a touch of cat anus. No, today's the day we bury Richard, or what they could find on him.
Miss Hollow?
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, sorry for your loss. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Federation standard burial. Cause of death, rammed in the docking port by a Thargoid and crushed to death. All good. Sign here. Thank you. And here. On here again. Right, if you'd like to pull the lever, we're done.
What? He was killed in action, fighting for the Federation. Where is everyone? He was crushed by a Thargoid for Barnard's sake. I was told there would be full military honours.
A lot of people die for the Federation fighting Thargoids. You're lucky you're getting an in-system burial. Usually we just find a random gas giant and give it rings. Look, I've got 50 more to go this morning. Are you going to pull the lever?
Well, I thought there would at least be a speech, an obituary of his life. He was born in a bio-waste plant, you know, the son of Frank, Father Swallow, and Gazella Swallow.
Whoa, hold it. No speeches. Look on the sign. No speeches, no emotional outbursts, and no heavy mugging. Look, if it's too hard, I can pull the lever for you.
I thought at least Jack would turn up.
I'm so sorry, May. I had to deal with some idiot's cock cheese again, down in customs.
Are you the husband of the deceased?
Oh, God, no. It did fuck me a few times, but it doesn't swallow, so it doesn't count.
Look, which one of you is going to pull the lever? I've got deaths backing up now.
I don't think I can do it, Jack.
Would you like me to, May? If it's easier on you.
Oh, well, go on then. I think that will be best.
Sir! Oh, for fuck's sake!
I came off in me hand. I barely touched it.
Barely touched it? You flicked it like it was a prostitute's clitoris. Great. Now I've got to explain to management why we have to double shoot.
Has he gone then? What was that?
Canister collector. We can't leave those canisters out in space. They're menace to traffic, not to mention the biohazard inside. So we collect them, we crush them, and we melt them down.
You mean Richard is not going to float in space for eternity?
Well, they could make him into a Type 9.
He were big enough he could make it. Sorry, me. I'm sorry. Old habits die hard, you know.
Oh, I think I need a moment here.
Luke, if it makes you feel better, I'll waiver the 20% mandatory reconstitution charge, as you never use the reanimation service.
Reconstitution charge? Reanimation?
Yes, you know, for putting his body back together. Shame you couldn't afford the reanimation. People usually go for that when they hear about death, but some people are traditionalists. Right, if you'd like to move through to Morning Room 2, a member of staff will provide you with one cup of tea, and I think today's biscuit is a very nice bourbon cream.
Reanimation? I never heard about any reanimation. Did you, Jack?
Nope, not at all. I never even knew of such a thing.
Oh, yes. Usually we find an escape pod. The occupant is usually dead and we pump them full of progenitor cells 3 times a day for a week. And soon they're back in the land of the living. But you must have your reasons. We sent you an information pack about a week ago. Look, we have the form here that you signed.
No need to put undue stress on me here. I do think we should move on to the morning room, though, me. I do like a bourbon cream.
I didn't sign anything. I don't remember getting any information pack. If I hadn't asked Jack last night, I would never have even known that the funeral was today. I just told Jack here to take care of the funeral, as I was far too upset to do it myself.
Well then, it's all taken care of then, ain't it?
You told me there would be a 21-gun salute. The Morris muggers were turning up and we would have an obituary read out by the voice of Galnet.
Turns out it was a bit more than we could afford, and far too much effort.
I gave you 500,000 credits. I said no expenses too extravagant for my Richard.
Yeah, but reconsti thingamabobber. Is that really what Richard would have wanted? I'm sure he wouldn't have wanted to make a fuss. Anyway, what's done is done.
Didn't you buy a new hauler the other day? You told me you won the Galaxy Lotto.
I did. I won.
Oh, never mind. I'm probably just in a state of shock. It's all been too much. Let's get out of here.
Right, yes. Well, we can have a nice cup of tea and forget any of this ever happened. Now I wonder where I left that ex-editor.
The galaxy is a wild and fascinating place. Only last week, I had an infection of Shetland giraffes in my house. Still, if you will organise orgies. Anyway, making sure all these fascinating creatures are logged throughout the galaxy are Fanny Longhorn and her geriatric fiancé, Willie Stroker. After the fallout from the last exhibition, they have decided to focus their efforts somewhere fluffier and cuter, where animals don't face extinction.
You join us today, looking down from orbit on a rather lovely Earth-like world in the TRAPPIST-1 system. And something rather special. The pygmy Unimouse, with its rainbow-coloured fur and tiny single horn. It has become a common pet throughout the galaxy. However, these pygmy Unimouse are not domesticated and still follow their annual migration to lay their eggs in the same place every year. My gorgeous assistant and fiancé, Fanny Longburn, has landed her asp in the forest and set up camp, awaiting their arrival.
Hee-hee! Finally, something I can stomach without having to drink a litre of Megagin first. Unimice are so cute and fluffy, I just want to squish them in my arms and cuddle them all night long. I'm actually glad you aren't here this time. I know how much you love cute things.
Yes, Well, after that last incident, where you killed one of only two remaining Krakens, and the cover-up for the Lost Marines, I figured it was much the safer option. Even if the subject matter is a little boring.
Don't you fucking start. Nobody mentions that fucking thing was trying to rip my tits off, and the crew were about as much use as a silent movie to a blind man. No, they deserve what they got.
350,000 credits to make it go away.
Worth it. Now, I need to set up all the truth cameras down here. The camp is all set up nice and neatly, and the sun is setting. It's going to be beautiful and so cute. So cute!
It's nice to see you taking this seriously for once. You know, there's a lot of credits to be made in first discoveries of animals. Remember, we got 50,000 credits for being the first to discover the Beldacri skunk eater.
That you fucking named after me.
It's a great honour to have an animal named after you. Phanius stinkius mephitis is being extensively studied now.
Yes, because it's widely regarded as being one of the smelliest fucking animals in the known universe, outranking even the Hutton truckers by 500 points. The Federation are studying it because they want to know if they can use it for chemical warfare.
Well, it's still an achievement, one that'll be remembered long after we've gone. Right. Have you got those cameras set up down there yet?
I'm just putting the wires on the last ones. The fire is going and I've got a large stew on for the morning. I'll film the sunset and then turn in for the night.
It's now the middle of the night and it looks like we may have some activity. It's very dark at the moment, so we'll have to wait for the morning to be able to see any footage of the Unimouse, or if it is the Unimouse at all. My assistant, Fanny, is fast asleep and keeping very quiet. The perfect conditions for Unimice. Oh, wait. I think that activity's my assistant.
Oh, I need to pee badly. I'm going to have to go now. I know I shouldn't have had that extra gin. I'll be as quiet as I can be. There's some bushes behind us. I'll just creep in there and go. And I'll be back before you even notice.
I'll just be very quiet. The slightest noise could scare them off.
Okay, I'm just making my way past the campfire. For fuck's sake, which one of you cunts knocked my stew over? You fucking fairy horned dildos, that's my entire meat ration for a week! Oh, you're still here, how fucking nice. Where's that fucking electric bee swatter? That's right. Knock over all my equipment whilst you're at it. 3 hours I spent setting that up. Get away from my boots, you little cunt.
Did you just kick a pregnant Unimouse?
What? No. Well, it was more of a pun, to be honest.
This is the last remaining wild population. You can't just go around kicking them.
Was?
This was the last remaining wild population, and you just peppered them all over the camp like you were practicing for a semi-final at Wimbledon. Then you kick one so hard that in the planet's low-gravity environment, I'm not 100% sure it's landed yet.
Well then, there might be one survivor. I've got an idea. Forest fires happen all the time, so I'll just need a small fire here, and we'll say we found it like this. Nobody needs to know anything. It's a tragic turn of natural events.
You can't...
Just sloss some of this light fluid over here.
Fanny!
These bodies here, make sure I get the tent and all the equipment. And here goes.
I tried to tell you, the oxygen content down there is 38%.
Shit, fuck! I'm fucking fired up something! You useless old twat!
There's a river behind you?
For fuck's sake, I've carbonised my favourite pants! Right, I'm recalling the ship now.
What's going on down there? Is the fire out now?
I'd say no, yeah, no. Well, it's quite the opposite of out. I'd say it's doing that quite quickly. Oh, thank fuck for that, the ship's still here. Right, I'm in the ass, but I'm fucking off out of here.
What's happening? Why am I getting hot? I'm 300 kilometres up in orbit. Oh, dear gods, what have you done?
It's just a small bushfire. It'll go out soon. You know bushfires lead to regeneration and growth.
It's encompassing the whole fucking planet.
Okay, maybe change of plan. We'll just tell him that a comet hit it. Yeah, just do one of your creepy voiceovers, edit in some footage, and it'll be fine.
Oh, God. There must have been 100 billion species down there. Okay, right. The planet here in TRAPPIST-1 has unfortunately suffered a natural disaster of epic proportions, and it now burns brightly in the night sky. Thankfully, my assistant and fiancée, Fanny Longburn, made it out safely. But spare a thought for all the creatures that were not so lucky. We leave you now with some powerful shots of what the force of nature can do. Oh, that's a shame. Fanny, that Unimouse you kicked, I'm afraid it didn't survive. It just bounced off my canopy.
In Hans Ring, a large operation takes place every day, providing the rest of the galaxy with fresh, thick, and creamy thermal paste. The milking sheds of Hans Ring have long been a source of controversy for the rest of the galaxy, but they have come forward to show that their practices are not barbaric, and the slaves live happy and free range on their large estates.
Well, I gets up around 6 a.m. UTC. Sometimes the sun is up, sometimes it ain't. Depends on the rotation of the station, see? Well, my first job is to round up all my livestock. I usually does this by shaking my cock like this, and they come a-running. Here's Jim now. He's an eager one, him. Can't wait to get his bits tubed up and pumping. And that there is Rosie in the field. Now, we use her for breeding. And she should be expecting a litter sometime soon. Mind you, it's about 18 years before they reach maturity. And then they have to pass quality control. I mean, we do only take the finest specimens here at Cum Farms. So now we have a bit of a crowd. Oi, shut your faces. We take them to the milking shed. It does this twice a day. Any more and it stops being creamy and gets watery. And no one wants low-grade paste. It's all done by machine these days. But if you want to go with the old method, I'd get you a cushion for the knees. Just place it there in your mouth and spit it into the bucket. No? Oh, I can assure you they're all clean. Got the certificates. Still no? Alright. Well then. Barry! Barry! Come along now. Don't be shy. Right. We unzip them, and if you look, Barry here is a small 2-incher. So shove that fitting on the bell end like this, and it does all the work for you. So we like to keep them relaxed. And we searched around the galaxy for something that's challenging but not impossible. So we use President's Question Time here on Mars. And when the machine fills that 100-milliliter bottle, it switches off. We can do 200 at a time like this. It can get a bit noisy in here, and I've been told it smells like a fisherman's trawler, but there's good money in paste. Now nothing round here goes to waste. So Greg here is an older guy. He's not producing the force he once was. So when they get to the dribble, we sells them on, and they go on to live on the sausage farm. And they become delicious sausages. Sometimes they struggle a bit, like Greg here now. So we send these straight to fertilizer and they go back to the earth. See? It's a cycle, isn't it? Now, would you like to sample our product? Tell you what, straight from the udder, nothing like unpasteurized, still warm and salty. Delicious, right? Oh, fuck's sake. That's the fourth time this week. Right. You're gonna have to help us here. Take the left side and I'll take the right. What do you mean, what are we doing? Hand tugging it. If we don't relieve them, they'll explode. I find it's easier if you keep a rhythm. Tug, 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 squirt. No, you're not holding it right. Do it like this. Tug, 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 squirt. There you go. Tug, 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 squirt. Tug, 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 squirt. Tug, 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 squirt. Tug, 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 squirt.
You have been listening to Beyond Dockers, a Onesie Hall production written by Simon Winard, Mia Harkness, Lenin Lindblad, and Paolo Rodriguez, all who are currently serving 50 years in a maximum security facility for crimes against humanity and jokes about Madeleine McCann. They are all allowed out once a week to throw feces at a canvas. The canvas was poo-glued together orally by Psycho Cow. Extra nuts and pieces of sweet corn were added by the cast and crew. This podcast also contained the following slaves who were beaten into submission before being forced against their will to record parts. We respectfully ask that you don't thank them or give them any praise at any point in case they get a bit narcissistic about it. They were David Pearson, Eddie Girdler, Andy Girdler, Robbie Lister, Helen Lister, Keith Burridge, Phil Ellis, Ben Moss Woodward, Peter Wotherspoon, Danny Bush, Belinda Bateson, and Amelia Hawke. Along with Chris Whittam, Steve Giller, Sean Pond, Keith Os Wilkins, John Jackson, Paolo Rodriguez, and me, Ian M. Norman, smashing guy, lovely set of tits, now fuck off, I'm tired.